Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yes, indeed. It is the Get Right right here on 105.3 The Fan. My name is Reginald Adatula, joined by Blake Elliott.
Sersky.
We got Justin Andre on the ones and twos. Shout out to Carter Freeman, still hanging around, making sure that Draft 101 goes smoothly. Yes, indeed. If you are interested in the draft, one more hour of Draft 101 happening on our streaming sites, whether it's YouTube, 105 Through the Fan on YouTube, twitch.tv/DallasFanCam. Check out with Bobby Belt, Zach Wolchuk.
They look awesome up there.
Brian Broaddus. I know that Nick Harris of DallasCowboys.com is there. Aisha Morrison, Kyle Yeomans. There's a whole bunch of folks. Now I've said pretty much everybody, so I got to make sure that I get everybody in. Who am I missing?
I think that was everybody.
Okay, I think I got everybody in there.
There's
okay.
Six up there, I believe.
Excellent. Listen to those fine folks giving analysis ahead of the 2024 NFL Draft. That's on YouTube and Twitch, 105.3 The Fan. But right here, terrestrially and on the Odyssey app, you get to hear the Get Right. We're having a good one. Got three more hours. We'll take you to 11. At 9 p.m., we will talk to our friend Joey Erickson of Locked On Stars about your Western Conference number one seed.
You got a little ahead of yourself right there.
Dallas Stars. I almost called them the World Series champions, which, look, hopefully they could be the Lord Stanley's Cup winners or the Stanley Cup champions. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. That's what we're going to talk to our guy about at 9. But right now, let's talk more about this Mavs-Clippers matchup. Super excited for that. Sunday, they'll face off against the Clippers in game one of the first round in the Western Conference. And we've talked about, some other things. We talked with Law Murray earlier about some of the things when it comes to the Clippers. But who are the X factors, right? This is something that we always talk about whenever we get to series because My thought process has always been when it comes to playoffs, your stars are the people that you expect to be there every day. Stars need to be and show up and do what they're expected to do every game, every quarter. That's the expectation. Now, sometimes they don't. Hello, LeBron James in the fourth quarters of that series in 2011. Like, you know, that's when those guys get their levels of criticism. But when they show up and do what they're supposed to do, that's them. It's the guys around them who I would term the role players, right? And I don't mean that as a derogative, but those are the guys that the expectations aren't there. If they give you something cool and if they don't, role players in the playoffs.
Gabe Vincent with the Heat last year.
Right, like if they give you something, that's above expectation because the playoffs are just a different level. And like J.J. Redick talked about, and we talked about that yesterday, everybody gets number one option levels of attention.
Yep.
And not everybody's the number one option in the NBA. And so with that being the case, who are the X factors that you're looking at in this series? We can talk about both Mavs and Clippers, but obviously we're here in Dallas. Let's focus on the Mavs more than anything.
And the most important thing, Reggie, they will be wearing their white uniforms game one and two.
Clearly, that's the most important thing.
Clearly, Clippers will be wearing blue.
Hate that. Not kind of, in fact. I absolutely hate that.
Clippers are wearing their black ones, which I think are sick, game two. And then Mavs are wearing their blue statement jerseys, game three and four, just in case you're trying to match the team and what they're wearing game
that
day.
That makes me so mad.
I think I really wish we were wearing the statement black ones that I referred to in the last segment. I think they're really cool. Anyways, X Factors. First guy in my head.
Supposed to wear white jerseys at home in the NBA.
Yeah,
I don't care how old I sound. White jerseys at home, colored jerseys on the road.
Yeah, I'm making sure I'm reading this graphic. Yep, game one and two, you're wearing the white association. Game three and four, the dark blue statement.
Okay, sorry, you were talking about X Factors?
The guy that I think is going to be the reason that we win or lose this series, most importantly, is PJ Washington. I've been kind of pounding the table the last couple weeks that he's the X factor in the regular season. He's proved dividends. He's been getting better and better at shooting, especially over the last month. He had a little bit of a slump where he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and now he's starting to knock down some clutch shots. I think, and we learned from Law in the earlier segment, the Clippers are going to blitz Luka. Luka's the most blitzed player by like 5 million this year. I don't think that changes in the playoffs. What does that mean when you blitz? There is now one guy taking out Luka and two defenders taken out. So now you are playing 4-on-3. And I think one of those first passes is going to go to, like, maybe you skip it to Kyrie, but eventually ends up in PJ's hands. And I think he is going to have to be pivotal to not turn the ball over, to
sure,
be smart with the ball. I don't need him to necessarily score 25. So when I say X factor, that does not mean PJ Washington needs to go for 20, 25 every night for us to win. I just think he has to make the right decision, whether that's making a skip pass to the other corner to Derrick Jones Jr., whether that's just retreating the ball back and getting it back to Kyrie, whether that's throwing an alley-oop to Gafford or knocking down the corner three. I think him being smart with the ball when it gets in his hand, inevitably, I feel like almost every possession, a lot of times the ball's going to touch his hands because they're going to be trapping and we try to get out. Like, he's going to touch the ball a lot in this series because I'm quite sure the Clippers are going to be like, hey, we're not going to let Luka beat us.
Correct.
Now, I think Luka's still going to get his, but 100%. They are probably in the mindset of, we are going to let anybody but Luka beat us, which means the other
and
guys.
And Kyrie. Let's put some respect on that man's name.
And Kyrie. We got to let someone else step up, and I think PJ has shown to you that he is that next guy, that next scorer, that next option, the three-level scorer that you hope. So for me, PJ Washington is the biggest X factor in the season.
Especially because, and Law made this very apparent, like you're going to see them kind of leave. If you're leaving someone open, it's going to be those guys in the corners until they prove that they are going to make opponents pay. And with that being the case, the first one of those you think of is PJ Washington. Whether it's him taking the shots, you know, confidently, and thankfully over the last month of the season, what you saw from him, that ball hits his hands
confident,
and he's going up confident. He might not make it every time, but he's going up confident. That's all you can ask.
You have to respect it as a defense. You can't just sit off and be, oh, he's not even going to shoot it.
Well, I mean, and this is the thing is they might play him like that, mm-hmm, but when he starts knocking down shots, and at the very least when he takes them confidently, gives himself an opportunity to knock down shots, if he starts knocking down shots, now you open up the opportunity to drive the closeout, and maybe you can get him into his floater game, maybe you can get him into playing, now, you know, opening up space for other players, throwing up lobs, skip passing. I think that secondary offense that can happen on the kickouts now is opened up, and he's going to have to be a hub for that. So, yeah, I'm with you.
And
definitely an X-factor in this
game. Last thing I'll add to that is even when his shooting wasn't great, like you remember in that Kings game, he was like 1-for-7, maybe even 0-for-7. I can't remember exactly. He still hit those two big shots late in the game. So we've seen that he's willing to still take a shot with 10 seconds left in the game, 13 game winners when he's not shooting well. And I think there'll be games in the playoffs he doesn't shoot well and
absolutely,
he has to hit a big shot.
Well, it's also our bad. We ain't talk about his defense, right?
Yep.
The defensive acumen is going to be necessary for him. The length that he brings and then the opportunities where there's going to be times where he's going one up because the Clippers, as much as they have added pick and roll, isolation is still something that is part of their bread and butter.
Agree.
And if they're calling somebody up to come and dance, PJ Washington is going to be one of those guys that has that opportunity to play one-on-one. You're going to need his abilities. Some other X factors that are coming in on the text line. For the 469, THJ is going to be, I don't know, they said the X factor. I'm not willing to say the X factor. He's going to be an X factor. Because if he's knocking down shots, he definitely changed the way that this goes. I think if you look at this team, who do you look at as that is a spot-up shooter that can play off the pick and roll and the kick out.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that comes to mind as just like a primarily shooter. And if he is knocking down shots, teams have to play him differently. That forces defense to get out of what they want to do. I think that could be interesting. If he's not knocking down shots, he might just be in a place where he plays himself out of a series.
I was going to say, tell me if I'm wrong. You're more than welcome to cut me off. I don't think THJ is going to be that much of an X factor. Just because we've seen his leash getting shortened over the last couple weeks of the season, his minutes have gone down. I think the Mavs have found a way that they can win in spite of him without him. And so I think if THJ is playing bad, I don't think that Jason Kidd is just going to throw him out there, just throwing that. I'm not saying he's not going to play at all.
Oh, he's going to start. I think he's going to start games, and they're going to feel out how he is playing. Okay. And then, I mean, we've seen some of that happen over the last, again, month of the season.
Yeah.
I think that hook might be just a little bit quicker.
Especially with Josh Green being back now, too.
Yes, but I do think that they're still going to, because, again, I don't think that you have a single other player on this team outside of your star players that when they start going, that they can just make it so that this game is over. Because he has the ability, and I understand nobody want to hear this right now, but it is the truth. He has the ability to knock down 7-8 shots in a game, threes in a game. And that's something that can absolutely bury a team. Those are the games that you steal in the playoffs, and those are super important.
Do you want to say? Do you think THJ and Russ are similar? Not at all in play style. Not at all in play style. I'm just saying, as far as impact leash, if they were to go off,
I think Russ has a bigger impact for them.
I would agree that if Russ is on his game, I'm saying Russ and THJ, I feel like both can lose their team again. Can both shoot themselves out, 100%. Can both be out of control, completely not understand agree. The game flow, and just go 100 miles per hour, both of them, and just keep shooting to the lights fall out of the gym. They also, if Russ is on it and making steals and making fast break plays, next thing you know, a 2-point lead is a 12-point lead for the Clippers,
you know,
and vice versa for the Mavs.
Good point. I think that that's well made. You've got me. I think that I see where you're coming from there. From the 972, the X Factor is DJJ. He'll be defending Harden in pick and rolls, and if he's hitting high 30s, from three and not hurting the spacing, it's over.
I want to hit on that. Who do you think is guarding Harden? You think it's Derrick Jones Jr. just because he is the point of attack defender? Because I think we thought Kawhi and PG are going to be your two best defenders, Derrick Jones Jr. and PJ.
That is really tough. I think that, yeah, it might be Derrick Jones Jr. there. But this is the tough thing about it, and Law hit on it, and this is something I always talk about. A lot of times going into these series, we focus a lot on who has the starting assignments, but really
your switch.
With all of the spaced pick and roll, you know, nowadays you're playing defensively as a team. And
correct.
So that assignment doesn't matter as much, because are you going to navigate screens? Who's switching? Who ends up in these situations? Especially when you talk a pick and roll, that big that you're playing defensively in pick and roll is also going to matter a big amount.
Yeah.
But yeah, that might be it there. The reason why I didn't bring up Derrick Jones Jr. as a X Factor specifically is I think that we stumbled into what might be a little bit of a conundrum here. Not necessarily a conundrum, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying when I get there. You asked me a question. I'll pose it back to you for the sake of starting this argument or this discussion off. Is there going to be a time in this series, in your estimation, where one of Kyrie or Luka is not on the floor?
So we talked about this in the break, and I think in a vacuum you would think no. Luka and Kyrie, how talented the Clippers are, how valuable they are to this Mavs team. You have to have one of them on the court at all times. And if that were to happen, I would not be surprised at all. But I think there is a reason for argument for maybe one of them being off the court at some times, not like crucial moments, but just at some points during the rotation throughout the series, because of how many ISO players the Clippers do have.
Well, yeah, there will be one of them off the floor. But I'm saying, like, is there a point where both of them are not on the floor?
I don't think there's a point where both of them.
Exactly.
I think there's a point where at least one of them are on.
And so with that being the case, right, it feels like when you're trying to fill out the rest of who's on the floor, you are going to be making the decision of, at very most, two of these three, but one of these guys on the floor at any time. Derrick Jones Jr., who we know is a starter, Dante Exum, and Josh Green.
Yeah.
And
those are your point of attack defenders.
It feels like there's that, but then those are also like your guard/three, you know, your 2 or 3 guard that are going to be playing alongside that are possibly spot up and giving you some other ball handling and some of those things. How do you power rank those three when it comes to importance coming up in this series?
So I want to first start with, I think all three of the guys you just named, obviously Derrick Jones Jr. because he's been starting. Mavs fans, do not be surprised, in my estimation, if all three of those guys we just named get significant minutes in this series. Just because of how offensively loaded this team is and how ISO heavy this is, this is going to be a load on Luka and Kyrie. So I could definitely see minutes where Exum's playing a lot because he's defending Harden so that Derrick Jones Jr. can guard Kawhi or PG. Or vice versa, Josh Green is out there so that they don't have to take that load. So I could see them getting extended minutes based on their defense because of how many offensive threats in the ISO the Clippers have. Power ranking them, I would say, as far as who I want to see or who I think will have the best impact.
Take that wherever you want to go.
I think the people that will have the most impact, I think, is going to be Jones,
Derrick Jones Jr., Dante Exum 2, Josh Green 3.
I think Josh Green's not comfortability, but confidence can very much show in this series. I think this is the one where the pressure is going to be on. I think it's going to be very obvious. We need you to knock down shots that when you're open. I need you to defend well against James Harden, who is a multi-time MVP and can get to the rack and can shoot and distribute. And if he doesn't do it, I could see him getting into his head as much. I would love for him to ball out. I could see it. I think Exum will handle the pressure a little bit better. And I think Derrick Jones Jr. is just one of those guys where he understands his role and just plays it so well. I don't think that it's going to any cause. He started most of the year. I think he'll be the most comfortable out there.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that ranking. Derrick Jones Jr. is vital to what you're doing defensively. Exum, I think, provides you an opportunity for spot-ups and gives you some more defense. I think Josh Green might just be hurt by the idea that he did not get as much of that time because of the injury towards the end of it. And confidence ends up being a question. Sometimes consistency ends up being a question. I think that he could be a catalyst for you, especially when you need that energy that he
imagine
tends
he
to bring.
Imagine he starts popping off.
Then you're in a different place, right? Now you're running nine deep in your rotation, and you've got a guy who is playing really well. This is going to be a really interesting series, man. I know that if you're interested in the Clippers side, one of the names that came up, we were talking to Forrest Lee early in the week, Norm Powell as an X-factor for that team. That's a guy that plays bigger than he is defensively, but then also nice with the ball, knocks down shots in a way that they absolutely need.
Especially contested ones.
Yeah, Norm Powell is going to be a name to watch for over on the other side of this one. Once the series starts on Sunday, 2:30 p.m. on ABC, and from the 972, they say, don't forget Maxi. They don't have an answer for this small ball lineup. Maxi Kleba is an interesting one.
He can play a big role where now they don't know what to do on defense, the Clippers.
It's possible. I don't know that Maxi Kleba stretches them that much, but if he's taking shots confidently, that's another thing is how does that then play
out? I think
out?
It's less about how good Maxi is and just the fact that you don't have Gafford out there and how do they match that. I don't really see Maxi going off for 15, 20, but just him being out there, what do the Clippers do? That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah,
with
especially if you have like Tice or Plumlee or Zubac. Yeah. Now those are guys that you might be able to pull off of the block. I feel you. I see where you're going. So get right here on 105 through the Fan. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday evening in the Metroplex. Coming up next, as we head towards the NFL draft next week, what are some traps that NFL GMs have to avoid when they're dealing with the NFL draft? Let's discuss that and more next on the Fan. So get right here on 105 through the Fan. Reginald Dattatulli here with you alongside Blake Elliott.
Yesirsky.
Thanks for rolling with us on this Thursday evening in the DFW. Wherever you listen, however you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your evening. Of course, if you're still interested in the NFL draft, there's about 30 minutes left of Draft 101 on our various streaming platforms, 105 through the Fan on YouTube and Dallas Fan Cam on Twitch. I know that they're having a good time. In fact, I tapped in the break, seeing what was happening there. Bobby laying down some knowledge when it comes to the Cowboys and what their thoughts have been on offensive line. However, we are all, whether it's Draft 101 here in the Get Right on 105 through the Fan, we're all getting ready for the NFL draft that starts a week from this evening, next Thursday, April 25th. In fact, at all 8 Pluckers locations in the DFW, you will have a fan representative hanging out with you for the Pluckers draft party. I'll be at City View in Fort Worth, so we'll have a good time, especially if you are out in Tarrant County. So come say what's up to your boy. But we're not the only ones getting ready for this as well. Clearly, NFL teams, their war rooms are being set up. Their draft boards are being put together. General managers are figuring out how to get ready for this. And Shil Kapadia of The Ringer, he does a lot of good work there, writes a piece entitled The 6 Traps Every NFL GM Must Avoid. I thought this was an interesting piece that I wanted to bring to the air, Blake. So let's start here, right? The first trap that can possibly befall general managers in the NFL draft is...
Now, is this for this draft specifically or just drafting in general?
For drafting in general, but obviously it's going to be important this time of year as we're a week out from it. The we know ball trap, the we know ball trap, saying like basically overweighting your ability to evaluate talent, right? The premise very simple. Teams should factor in the inherent uncertainty involved when you're drafting college prospects, right? What would you put the percentage on any pick that like that pick is going to be a success, right? Would you call it a coin flip? Would you call it less than 50%?
I'd say less than 50%.
And so there's a lot of times where GMs can get to the place where they start operating as though this is absolutely going to be more than a 50% shot. Like I give it a 75% chance that we're going to make this happen because we know ball, right? And that's a trap that you could fall into because you start depending on that. What happens if it doesn't hit? You end up in a bad place.
Unless you're the 49ers, give up a lot for the number three pick and Trey Lance and then trade him for nothing.
Exactly one of the issues in the we know ball, right? Especially when you trade up in those ways, you're giving up more assets for the opportunity to, you know, give yourself a shot at getting this right. And that puts even more stress and more of an onus on making sure that you get the selection right. And so there's a lot of countless examples that show us that it's really hard to evaluate college prospects, right?
Would you be a we know ball GM?
Absolutely not.
So you would never trade up then? You would never be a guy to trade up? Because that's kind of, that would kind of go against that.
Not necessarily, right? Like, there's instances where it's just like, it's not necessarily about the, and I get what you're saying, but it's not necessarily about like the individual. Sometimes it's like, all right, we are in a place where we're at, we're not going to get to this type of player, whether it's like a tier of player. There's a few of these players that we can go up and try and play in those waters. And if we don't get into those waters, we're going to be SOL selecting from a group of players that's in a different level. I think that there's instances where you could trade up, but I think it's a lot more narrow than some of us like to think, mm-hmm. right? It's not just, I'm going to go up and get a quarterback. It's, all right, I'm going to be in a place where I'm not going to have an opportunity to get anything near what I think would be good in what I'm trying to
cool,
do.
Cool.
How about this? Trap number two, this guy's different.
I do that trap all the time.
Oh.
Am I scouting?
Please tell me why. Tell me what you
mean.
Well,
I mean, I think you see a guy and maybe the media or scouts say one thing and you think you have a different perspective on it and you think you understand the player better than everyone else does.
Right. And I think that's some of it. But I think also in this one goes a little bit deeper to ignoring historical evidence to justify a selection, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously, again, knowing everything you can on the individual matters, but then knowing history and how things typically play out can be helpful. It's not the end all be all, but that can be helpful to give you more information. And you've seen instances where, you know, folks will go and, you know, try and buck the trends thinking that, no, this one's going to be different. You're setting yourself up for an opportunity to fail. Does that mean you absolutely will? No. But like, hey, look at this, right? There's compelling evidence to suggest that evaluating tight end prospects is really tough. 9 tight ends have been selected in the first round in the past 10 drafts. Those players have combined for 0 all pros and 1 1,000-yard season. And that one was David Njoku. David Njoku got a second contract with the team that drafted him.
Yeah, it's not been a high hit rate.
But do you go in a place where you're like, hey, man, Brock Bowers out here, I'm taking him top 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Seems like a lot of teams want to do that.
Because this guy's different, right? Like that ends up being in a place where, and you could end up being right, but what are the chances there? When we're talking about the draft, this very much ends up being like a chances thing. We're starting to talk about what are the odds on this. All right, how about this? The plug and play trap. Right, overrating the possibility that a prospect will make an instant impact.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams do that. You got to know who your scouting department is. You got to see your history of plugging and play. I think when you're like the Cowboys, you go, we've been really good at plug and play at linemen early in the draft, but maybe not at other positions and whatever team it may be. So just understanding your personnel. But if you don't and you just think, hey, I have a hole at center and we haven't drafted a center in the first round in the last 15 years and we're just going to draft the best center and it's going to be all good and dandy, not always the case.
All right, number four here is the C.J. Stroud Puka Nacua trap, which Shield identifies as looking at rookies from the previous year's class and thinking that you'll get this year's version of those players.
I think you kind of have to, though. Don't you gotta? If you're in the fifth round, you got to be looking for your Puka Nacua. I think that's a natural trap you fall into.
Yeah,
now.
I was like, I think that leads you astray because what happens if there's not a Puka Nacua in this draft?
You got to find him. But you got to make him Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua wasn't Puka Nacua until he got to the Rams. Now, he was good in college. I'm not saying he wasn't good. I'm just saying there was a reason he was drafted in the fifth, sixth round, whatever, fourth round. I can't late draft pick.
This one might be my favorite trap of the ones that we're talking about, the traps the GMs
trap
have
four.
To avoid. The LOL coaches or college coaches trap, which is overrating the assumption that your coaching staff is going to be better than their college coaching staff. And this one's really interesting because sometimes them college coaches actually aren't good. Like, this feels like it was the case for Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. right? Justin Herbert at Oregon. There was a lot of people that watched that tape and were like, yo, there's stuff here that's being missed. And I'm like, hey, man, I saw that dude at Oregon. Not nice, right? Not as nice as y'all trying to make him. We get him to the league, and I'm like, oh, my bad. They were just using him all the way wrong. That was an instance of this being the case. However, you circle this back around, and how many times has that gone the other way where you've looked at it and you've gone, oh, you thought you were going to outcoach those guys in college, and what you find out is actually, oh, no, they are not. Like, the college coaches knew things that we pretended that we knew better than them on, and that gets you in trouble because you went and got a guy.
It happens a lot because you're, especially, I would say, like, in those middle rounds, those second and third rounds where you still want a high-end prospect, and you're like, okay, he slipped a little bit because maybe his production in college, there's not as many eyeballs on him, but we see the talent, and we think he just wasn't used right, whether it be a receiver, quarterback, defensive end, corner. Guys slip all the time, and 100%. You have to be able to parse through that and be like, I see the potential. He wasn't used right. But if you do just fall into the trap of, yeah, what he did in college doesn't really matter. Production. It's like, because a lot of scouting isn't even really production nowadays. It's just potential, frame, what can he do, speed, not like what were his numbers and what was this? Because it's like, oh, well, what was the system he was in?
Right. And that's an important part where you have to take that into account. I think that's what makes the trap even more alluring, is that you have to be able to try and isolate some of these things from production, because some players are not used right. However, if you go too heavy on that place, you can get burned because you think you're smarter than everybody else, and you come to find out, actually, there was something missing, and that's why it didn't show up on tape. It wasn't necessarily because of negligence. And finally, number six, the best player available trap.
That's not going to make a lot of people happy.
It's an interesting place that he puts here. He says that it's picking players based on who has the highest grade and completely ignoring the importance of positional value, right? The draft process can feel unnecessary, complicated, right? So oftentimes GMs will justify a pick just by saying we took the best player available. But the problem isn't always that simple, right? There's obviously different factors, right? You have to factor in positional value, upside, and those types of things. And so if the best player plays at a position where you're like, is this going to be important? Is this going to be valuable to me? I think it's something you have to take into account. But we've seen places where that is operated in the other way, right? Like, it's not a trap because every time it's wrong. It's a trap because there are instances where you can get you. Like, Micah Parsons, absolutely, was one of those things where you took the best player available while also not necessarily consulting what the positional value was, looking at him as a linebacker. Now, I don't know how much they looked at it, and I guess they have said that they saw the pass rush capabilities in there. But if you saw him as an edge, that changed the positional value conversation. But you looked at Micah Parsons and you were like, don't matter, that dude is good, and you drafted him, and it worked out for you.
Yeah.
How many times do we see teams do something similar, and it doesn't?
It happens a good amount of times where you'll pick a guy, and you're just going BPA, best player available, and is drafting a safety in the first round always the best? Probably not, but maybe he's generational. Maybe he's Ed Reed, and you feel like, hey, this is the guy that's going to change our franchise. So I think a lot of times you can justify best player available. It obviously helps when it pans out. When it doesn't, you look a little foolish, but if there was any of the traps on the list that you just read off that I...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Feel fine falling into would be that one. That would be the one I'd be okay if I fall into that one. I'm okay with it,
right? Especially if you're getting a player that's good, yeah. Right? As long as they show up and they're good, and ultimately that's the thing that's interesting about these traps. They're not absolute, but if you lean too much into them, you can end up finding yourself in a tough place. I think it speaks to just how difficult navigating the NFL draft actually is for the folks that are selecting. There's things that we operate with on the outside that we can talk in absolutes because we are not the ones who actually have to come around and make the selection and then have to have our careers defined by them. It's not very easy to do this, and I don't envy the folks that actually have to do this as a job.
What do you think about this from Jagon and Terrell? I think he makes kind of a funny point and kind of a fair point. He says, you're leaving out number 7. What about the Clowney effect, where a player makes a big play that everyone watches and then gets drafted highly? With Jadeveon Clowney making maybe the best hit of his career. Who was that against? That was against
Michigan?
Michigan, yeah.
Yeah.
When he absolutely ran through everybody. Thoughts on that? The Clowney effect.
I wonder how often that trap comes into play, but I'm sure it's not nothing, right? But, I mean, you would have to imagine that nowadays with the amount of information that scouting folks are taking into account, I feel like that trap – you were more liable to fall into years back, maybe decades ago, as opposed to now. It feels like they're taking in so much information that I don't think that a single player or a single really great game is going to shift too much of the evaluation.
We'll get you in a 7th round, 6th round if you didn't have good tape and you had one good play, but not anything in the day 1 or 2, just off one play.
There you go.
Mr. Jadeveon Clowney.
Some of the traps the NFL GMs have to try and avoid when they're in the NFL draft, as we're a week away from the first round of the NFL draft. You can hear that right here on 105.3 The Fan, and all the way through the NFL draft. Keep it locked on 105.3 The Fan, your home of the Cowboys, and of course, your home of the World Series champion Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back to everybody watching us on various streaming sites. Shout out to the folks, the good folks that handled Draft 101 over on that side of things, but we're all back together. In the Tolo Plush land.
Tolo Plus members, baby. The Foregrounders unite.
Yeah, it's the Get right here on 105 through the Fan. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your evening. Coming up next, I don't even know how to set this up. Whose sports downfall are you plotting on? 877-881-1053. We'll ask that question as our question of the day next on The Fan. So get right here on 105 through The Fan. Reginald Dattatula here with you alongside Blake Elliott.
Yes, Hersky.
Thanks for rolling with us on this Thursday evening in the DFW. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to our friend Joey Erickson of Locked On Stars as we are in the final evening of regular season NHL hockey. And of course, they do it to Stars fans, that you will not know who your opponent is officially until we get done with the night. The final two games of the season are going to be huge in determining who the Stars will face off against in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, as both the LA Kings and the Las Vegas Golden Knights get going. The puck drops at 9 p.m. Central. But right now, for no reason in particular other than sometimes you got to have a little negativity, let me get this question right, because I'm definitely about to mess it up. 877-881-1053, that is the Franco injury attorney text line. Whose sports downfall are you plotting on? And again, nothing spurred this. I just decided to get a little negative. And of course, someone jumped up real quick on the text line from the 214. Said, unfortunately, Jalen Brunson. I'm not even sure if I can say this on air. I feel like I can. They said they glazing my dog, which is crazy to say, first of all. But I was like, hey, I thought y'all was friends. Like, that's what that feels like to me. It's like, hey, you like him, but you're like, nah, they talking him up. They're big upping him too much. And so you want to see his downfall. That's kind of haterific. I don't like that.
I'm not in the same space. I want Jalen Brunson to ball out. I want him to do his thing. I want him to show that he can be the number one option in New York. I've I've been a little optimistic about how far he himself, or I should say pessimistic, how far he himself can take the Knicks in the playoffs as the number one option. But I would love to be wrong and kind of just show that he can be that guy. So I'm not on the haterade as far as Jalen Brown.
Yeah, I feel like that might be some of the reason why I am in that place, is because I have constantly kind of underestimated Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
And I apologize because obviously I don't wish poorly for him. I don't wish ill upon him, and he's done well. However, I also kind of don't apologize, because I was not like being a hater. I was looking at it from as clear eyes as I thought I could have, and did not see the development that he was capable of. And here he is making that development. So shout out to that man. I'm not plotting on his downfall, though.
Okay, what spurred this? I know nothing spurred this, but who's the one on your head? Is there anyone that's coming up? I got one, but I want
to. So I was kind of trying to think through this to see if there was like one that popped up for me that I was actively plotting on their downfall. And there's some that I'm like, maybe, but not exactly. But one that I absolutely am, it's, what's my guy's name? Because I don't know if I want to do this for the entirety of the team. I feel like I might be wrong for hating the entirety of the team. But John Joseph Fisher, the owner of the Oakland Athletics, soon to be the Las Vegas Athletics, or I guess the Swinging A's is just what we're going to call them until they find an official home. The way that he has handled that organization as a whole is suckerific, right? Not spending money, getting out here trying to fleece the municipality for money to build a stadium that he's not going to be able to put butts and seats on, because he's not spending money on the team and actually making a good product. Nah, like I absolutely have no love for a team owner that's out here acting like a broke boy and then moving the team because of it, because someone else is willing to give him a little bit of cash. Nah, you get no love from me. So I don't know if I want to do that to the A's organization as a whole necessarily, because I think that there's players that play there that do their best. I think that there's a lot of fans that have tried to ride it out with them. But him in particular, plotting on his downfall. I don't know how it happens, because I don't know how you make team owners pay. You don't make them hurt. Like the highest form of getting a team owner out of there is giving them billions of dollars to go away. Yeah. But yeah, plotting on that dude's downfall. Absolutely.
I got one for you, sticking in the baseball world. Brian Abreu for the Houston Astros.
Oh, okay. The reliever.
I thought
you were going Jose Abreu, but no, you're going with the reliever. They got multiple Abreus. That's a fun thing to remember.
If you don't remember Tolos, I'm sure you do. This is the reliever that hit Adolis Garcia.
True.
In Game 5 started that huge altercation and the whole... The worst thing they could do is wake up the Astros, and then we know what happened after that. But if there was any guy's downfall of him hopefully pitching bad for the rest of his career, it'd be that guy.
Okay. All right. I like where you're going there from on the Twitch chat. Swaggy Booty says LeBron. I get it, I guess. There's a lot of people that dislike LeBron.
I'm fine. Go ahead. Do your thing, brother.
Not surprised by this one. Thought it would come up earlier. Plotting on the downfall of the Eagles. Fair. Very fair.
Mm-hmm.
Also, someone said the Astros. Vegas thought they would win the division. Astros are trash.
I'm going to go to basketball. Klay Thompson.
You're plotting on his downfall.
He already lost, so it helped my narrative. So they're already out. That helped the narrative. But, I was a Klay Thompson fan when he was scoring 37 and a quarter. But his bad play and his cocky attitude mixed with the two just didn't sit right with me. I think when you're having bad play and you're kind of humble, you'll get fans and media to kind of take your side. But I think when you're still acting as if you're that guy, even when you're not playing well and not aware, I think it's tough to be a fan of the guy. And I was not a huge fan going throughout the season. Did you see what I did in the past? I mean, I'm still that guy. 4 rings. I mean, I still dropped 30 on this team. Let's look at last game. Why y'all talking about my bad game? Like, even in his last game, he was just talking crazy. I'm just not a fan of that.
Okay.
Gotta be aware of the moment.
From the 2-4, Aaron Rodgers, hope it's 4-and-out again. Wow.
It was 3-and-out last time.
That's spicy. Like,
Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think that we want to go so far as to plotting on people's injury per se, but you know, hey, I can understand
I'm
downfall.
Going specific player. I can't even.
You don't want to go like larger organizations?
I think team is like just too easy. I could just name Fair all enough. The Cowboys rivals and just be Fair like enough. The Commanders and the Giants. So I want to get real specific on this.
Well, someone got real specific here, knowing they directed it towards you because they know this is somebody you rock with, I think, from the 214. C.J. Stroud.
Wow.
Sophomore slump coming, Blake.
See now, you know what that is? That is called a hater.
That's kind of the segment.
But that's like, there's no even fuel behind that. CJ Stroud has been nothing but upstanding, And you're just hating because you just want them to be bad next year. Like,
sometimes it's about the noise around you. Absolutely. Sometimes that happens.
Okay. Well, then here's a little bit of noise. Let's see the downfall of Jason Tatum not winning again with a super team around him. I'm for it.
I'm not plotting on his downfall, I feel like it's going to happen because he be doing that.
I think he's one of the players, and I'm going to get to my other player, that I actively, when they're playing, I'm like, miss. Yeah, he's just terrible.
Wow.
Even though I know he is all NBA. I'm like, oh, he's terrible. He's not making this. Look at this guy choking again. And I'll finish up mine, Devin Booker. 1-2 punch.
Okay. All right.
Why do you hate every light-skinned player, bro?
You know.
I didn't hate on CJ.
That's true.
CJ's one of my favorites. Derek Lively, one of my favorites.
Also true.
And Devin Booker's a fake light-skin.
Whoa. I don't even know what that means. None of my business. I'm not any, like, that's you and your folks. I don't know what y'all be doing at the meetings.
I can't really
speak to that.
The board members talk, me and CJ. He's not part of the true light skin community.
Not a card carrying member.
No, not okay. He has a gold card. He doesn't have a platinum card.
Okay, all right, interesting. From 360, plotting on the downfall of Dak, and everyone to realize he's not worth the hype he gets.
Wow,
okay.
I don't think he's getting hype right now. I think it's quite the opposite.
I think it's the obvious ones. I understand they're the obvious ones. The ones that I find interesting are the ones that I'm not sure that I understand where we're coming from with them. Necessarily, 4-3-2. Trout and his hurt ass. Where did that come from?
Is it Trout?
Yes, Mike Trout.
I mean, he hasn't really been like a Ranger killer, so I mean, he's just good at baseball.
Like those are the ones that I'm just like out of nowhere, and I'm going to do this for the benefit of my guy who is within the under the sound of my voice, Jonnu Smith. Me and him got beef.
Mm.
I know there's people that are like, where did that come from? Was it two or three seasons ago where the tight end marker there was a few tight ends and they got paid decently.
Yep.
In free agency in the tight end market.
Yeah.
And then they did not ball out. I know that Jonnu Smith was one of those. Hunter Henry was one of those.
Shout out to the Patriots.
Yeah, they were giving out big tight end money. And then soon thereafter, everybody was like, ooh, we don't want to pay tight ends because the tight ends have not produced well. And I put that very largely on the back of Jonnu Smith because he was out here. He was supposed to be good. He got out here stinking up the joint. Thanks for nothing,
Jonnu
Smith.
You know, I think a polarizing one might be Ja Morant. I personally want him to do good.
Yeah, there's definitely
people plotting on his downfall. But I'm just saying, I think a lot of people 100%, might.
Which is crazy because he was the golden boy.
Golden boy.
He was the golden boy.
And you make some questionable off-the-court things and you make it easy for people to hate.
You know what the problem is? Like, I think America as a society, we are willing to allow you a comeback story.
Mm-hmm.
When you are defiant and doubled down, then people get real mad. Because
people love a comeback story, actually.
Love it. Especially in situations where it might not even be deserved. Mm-hmm. We're like, but there, comeback story, ready for you. When you spit in the face of the comeback story because you out here being a knucklehead or you decide that you don't want people's, then they get real mad. You know, and I feel like that's the Ja Morant story right now.
Grayson Allen. Everybody hated him.
Well, that ain't no comeback story. He just got that face. And you can't be out here tripping people and then I would say throwing rocks and hiding your hand is one way to get on people's bad side.
I would
side.
Say he's kind of rewritten his narrative a little bit. I feel like there's not as much of a bad taste in people's mouth when they think about Grayson Allen. But you know who there is still? Dylan Brooks, I think.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the downfall of Dylan Brooks?
Plotting. Plotting on his downfall. Okay. I think there's a lot of people in that place. Jerry and Stephen Jones obviously come up for a lot of Cowboys fans. I understand that. Some said low key. Some said high key. Just all over the place. 903.
No mid-keys?
And there's more people that came with this. Caitlin Clark.
See, now this is generational hating. She's changing women's basketball and we want her to do bad for the game?
Well, here's the thing. I think this is coming from two different directions. There's one person who said they're tired of hearing about her. And, you know, that pops up when folks are just like, I'm not that interested in this. Y'all going to keep talking about this, so I'm now lashing out. On the other side, there's also people that look at Caitlin Clark and the attention that she's getting and say, all right, she's good. She ain't that good compared to name these other players that have not gotten the love and respect in the women's game or what have you. And they're like, all right, so now I'm plotting. Because some folks that were plotting on Sabrina Ionescu, people plotting on her downfall. In fact, I'm not going to lie. I sprinkled a little bit of plotting on her downfall in there. I'm not going to lie. She came through as the great white hope and people were really hyping a lot of love. What was that?
Did she though?
On who? Sabrina Ionescu?
Did she come through? I don't know if she really lived up to all that hype.
Nah, she was out there standing on the sidelines in that finals. Or was it the finals in the W? I got to remember now.
Yeah, because they lost to the Aces.
I got one correct. Generational one we haven't said. Give me Brock Purdy for 500.
Yeah. And I feel bad about it because I actually am not plotting on his downfall as an individual. It's more about y'all around him. at the same time.
The Brock hurt it. Brock Purdy stands.
Yeah.
That's for y'all.
Yeah. It's really, it's bad.
And then also, give me Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, wow. You're in that place.
Yeah. Okay. I think he's a very much system of the product of the system, I should say. Not saying he's not a good quarterback. I just don't think he's the numbers that have put up next to him.
Messi? Oh, wow. They're like, too many people love you. Get out of here. Alex Bregman, fair enough.
Fair.
I see what you're going. There's a lot
of... What about Jordan Love?
I'm not plotting on his downfall. I'm cool with it.
Okay.
I've already come to terms with the place where I was wrong. You know what? It's either like you play for a team that I don't like, you did something I don't like, or just... Now I'm hating. And you know what? I'm willing to accept the places where I'm hating, to be honest. Somebody said y'all aren't letting people hate. Oh, no, I am. Like, Conor McGregor, I'm absolutely plotting on his downfall, 100%.
I'm on the opposite. Big McGregor fan.
Also,
McGregor!
While we're sneaking some more in on the way out. What's the YouTuber that's doing the fight again? Both of them Paul boys, in fact. Plot on their downfalls. I'm sorry.
That one I can get on board with. I can get on board with that.
There you go. Who else are you plotting on their downfall? Plotting on the downfall of pickleball, 100%. Not an individual, but absolutely. Y'all not miss me with this pickleball.
Give me Marcus Mariota. Joking.
Why? I was like, what did he do?
Quitting on his team in the middle of that great Netflix series.
Yeah, Ryan Garcia is wild right now. I understand where you're coming from. 2-1-4.
He might need some help. He might need some help.
Sometimes just a little hateration. We're just throwing
Who's
in
the
there.
Steelers quarterback? Russell Wilson?
Right now, it seems like Russ would be.
I think I can hate on him. I'd be fine with
that. I like how you're like trying to find play. Where can I? I have a little extra hate. Who can
I got a little extra
on?
Pie to go around.
Let me find a place to put some hate. Aaron Judge? What did Aaron Judge do to y'all?
Yeah.
Okay, y'all said I was gatekeeping the hate. If y'all trying to hate Aaron Judge, it's all you. You got it. Dennis Allen, 2-1-4, I'm with you. Dennis Allen, he's just kept a head coaching job for the Saints for way too long. He's
who
not
was
good.
The Lions offensive lineman that had all the controversy with the checking in? Decker? Was it Decker?
I think it might have been Decker.
Give me Decker.
Okay, very good. Plotting on Stephen A's downfall. Okay, very good. And most importantly, we've circled back around. Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers. Thank you, text line, for hating. Hate. Thanks. This has been fun. So get right here on 105.3 The Fan, plotting on various people in sports is sports downfall. Sports downfall, mind you. We're not getting all the way negative. We're not trying to be bad people, per se. But coming up next, you never want to plot on this guy's downfall. He's a light, and he's going to come on and give us an opportunity to talk more about your Dallas Stars ahead of the Stanley Cup playoffs. His name is Joey Erickson. He does work for Locked On Stars. Let's talk to our guy next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.